collection of muscles that at times acted human. Of course, Wax thought, starting to climb. What am I but a pile of blood and meat that gets up and walks around? His climb was difficult, particularly with the lantern, though decreasing his weight substantially helped. After only a short time, he heard the creatures come in below, howling and scrambling. His heart beat more quickly, but they didn't seem to have much luck climbing. He continued to inch upward until, in his haste for a handhold, he fumbled with the lantern and dropped it. It bumped and clanged against the stones before smashing down below. The light went out. In that moment, Wax realized he was buried in the earth, clinging to rocks in the darkness. The walls seemed to press against him, and twisted monsters howled below and sought his blood. He gasped in sudden panic. Then his eyes adjusted, and a soft blue light revealed the world to him. He wasn't trapped. There was a way out above. He could see it by the patina of blue fungus growing on the walls, giving a gentle light to everything.
"Harmony made sure it spread here," Tensun's voice said from above. "He wanted to make certain that no person was ever trapped in darkness in this place again."
Wax forced himself to continue upward. He recognized where he was now, from the stories. The holes in the walls that he used as handholds had once been overgrown with crystals, and within, geodes containing a bead of the lost metal. Legendary Atium. He was climbing the pits of Hath-Sin themselves.
"Peace, lawman," Tensun said from above. "Keep climbing."
Had he heard Wax's breathing quicken? He steadied himself and continued. This place was no longer a prison. No more did it cut and lacerate as it had done to the survivor's arms. The climb was actually easy with all those holes. The sounds from below grew softer. Finally, he crawled from the crevice into a section of man-made tunnel, one of the city sewers. The crack behind him was just a thin cleft in the rock that gave no hint of its ancient origin. Wax shivered, breathing in the awful stench of the sewers, but still glad to be free. Tensun convulsed as a mass nearby, then formed into a wolfhound again.
"I can see why Pa'an might want me distracted and unable to stop my people from being caught in her trap," he said. "But what happened below, that was not for me, but you, human. What was she trying to distract you from?"
Wax didn't reply, but could think of only one reason. Once she dealt with the Chandra, her plan would be ready for the final steps. She'd need to drive the people of the city further into a frenzy, freeing them, as she saw it, sending them forth as a mob to rage and hate, destroying Elendil. The governor was planning to speak to the people of the city. Bleeder hadn't succeeded in killing him yet, and Wax suspected he knew why. Because when she murdered him, she wanted an audience. Part 3. 22. Mist seemed to burn in the night, like clouds before the sun. Wax dropped through it, slamming to the steps of the governor's mansion, surprising the guards there. Constables by the uniforms rather than the normal guards. Good. They'd been running low on the ladder. Wax stood up straight, turning and regarding the crowd gathering in front of the mansion. Constables with rifles made an uneasy barrier between them and the building. Nearby, workers erected a small stage on the steps. Aradel supervised, though judging from his sour expression he was rather displeased with the governor's plan. Wax agreed. Addressing the crowd would be playing right into Bleeder's hands. He grabbed one of the constables.
"I assume there hasn't been another attempt on the governor's life?"
"No, sir,"
the constable said.
"He's in his study, sir."
Wax nodded and barged into the mansion, trailing wisps of mist behind him. He stalked toward the back, and in the hallway, Marisi intercepted him, taking him by the arm.
"Kolos blood,"
she said, giving him the password he'd given her, proving she wasn't a Chandra.
"Nighttime summer," Wax said back, authenticating himself. "You need to do something about that crowd, Marisi. They're going to rip this city down."
"We're working on it. Have you seen Wayne?"
"No, why?"
"Milan says he went out to inspect the protesters. That was over half an hour ago. Nobody has seen him since.
He'll turn up, Wax said. I need to talk to the governor. Marcy nodded, but held onto his arm as he tried to walk toward the study.
Wax, she said softly, he's corrupt. Really corrupt. I found proof.
Wax drew in a deep breath. Let's survive this night. Then we'll do something about that.
My thoughts are similar, Marcy said, but I think Bleeder wants to put us in a difficult position. Perhaps she wants to force us to let the governor die.
Not going to happen, Wax said. We'll hand him over to the courts, but not a mob. Have you checked on your sister?
No,
Marcy said,
but I've been intending to.
Do so, Wax said. I'll look in on your father after talking to the governor. I don't want either showing up as an unexpected hostage.
As long as it isn't me for a change, Marcy said with a grimace. Milan is wearing the body of the guard with the sling. She's furious the governor won't let her or the others in. I'm going to go see if I can track down Wayne. Wouldn't be surprised to find him on the front row of the mob.
She let go of his arm and headed toward the exit. Marcy, Wax said after her.
Hmm?
The uniform, he said. It suits you. Don't know if I've had a chance to mention that. She blushed, she was Marcy after all, before continuing. Wax turned and strode down the hallway toward the door to the governor's study. Milan lounged there with a group of three other guards. Nobody is to enter, lawman, one of them said, with an annoyed tone. He's been in there composing a speech for the last hour. He won't... Wax pushed past them and tried the door, which was locked. He could hear Innate's voice inside going over a speech. Wax increased his weight and flung the door open with alimency, splintering the doorframe. Innate stood inside, holding a pad of paper and pacing as he talked. He froze mid-stride and spun on Wax, then relaxed visibly.
You could have knocked, the governor said.
And you could have ignored the knock, Wax said, walking in and swinging the door shut behind him. It didn't latch, of course, after what Wax had done. What do you think you're doing, Innate? You could have been killed in here, quietly, alone without anyone to help.
And what would they have done?
Innate demanded, tossing his pad onto his desk. He walked up, then spoke more softly.
Wind's whisper.
Drunken steam, Wax said back, latest passphrases exchanged. Innate was authentic. Locking your guards out was foolhardy. They would have fought for you, protected you. We chased her off one time before.
You chased her off,
Innate said, walking back to his desk and picking up his pad.
The rest were useless. Even poor Drim.
He went back to his pacing, speaking the lines of his speech to himself and practicing emphasis. Wax fumed, feeling dismissed. This was the man they struggled to protect? Wax made his way to the window. It was open, surprisingly letting in wisps of mist. They didn't travel far. He'd heard legends of the mist's filling rooms, but that rarely happened. He leaned against the window, looking out at the darkness, listening with half an ear to Innate's speech. It was inflammatory and dismissive. He claimed to feel the problems the people had, but called them peasants. This would just make things worse.
She wants that, Wax thought. She wants to free the city from harmony by making it angry.
She knew what Innate was going to say.
Of course she knew.
She'd been leading them around this entire time. Every clue Wax had found so far had been carefully planted for him. So what did he do? Stop Innate's speech? What if that was what she wanted? He tapped his finger on the windowsill. Tap, tap, squish. He looked down, then blinked. A wad of chewed gum had been stuck here. Wax lifted his finger and, as he contemplated it, something started to fall into place. Something he'd been missing. Bleeder had set this all up from the start. Wax's suspicions had begun because she'd deliberately alerted him by wearing Bloody Tan's face. That had been a conscious play on her part, a way to start the festivities. Everything was moving on her timetable. Bleeder had had everything already in place when this night arrived. She'd been planning this for a long time. Far longer than he'd assumed. So where was the best place to hide? Rusts. Wax reached for his gun and spun. He found himself facing down Governor Innate, who had taken out a sidearm and leveled it.
Damn it, Wax, the governor said. Just a few minutes more, and I'd have had this. You see too far. You can always see a little too far.
Wax froze, hand on his gun. He met the governor's eyes and hissed out slowly.
You knew the passphrase, Wax whispered. But of course you did. I gave it to you. When did you kill him? How long has the city been ruled by an impostor?
Long enough.
The governor wasn't your target. You think bigger than that. I should have seen. But Drim...
He was in the safe room when you entered below.
Is that why you killed him?
No. He'd have known you were gone. He knew all along, Bleeder said. He was mine. But tonight, I killed him because of you, Wax. You'd shot me up.
You had on the governor's clothing underneath the cloak, Wax said.
Rusts, I'd bloodied you.
So you needed an excuse for why the governor was covered in blood, an excuse to pull up your shirt and staunch a wound.
She held the gun on him, immobile. The weapon didn't register to his allomancy. Aluminum. She was prepared, of course. But she seemed torn. She didn't want to kill him. She'd never wanted to kill him for some reason.
So Wax yelled for help.
It was risky, but nothing ever ended well when you obeyed the person with the gun on you. As he'd suspected, Bleeder didn't shoot at him as the door burst open. Wax pulled out his gun and fired at Bleeder to distract her as he dug into his gun belt for the last needle that Melon had given him. The guards turned their guns toward Wax and started firing.
Idiot,
he thought, throwing himself toward the governor's desk for cover. Of course they'd do that.
Wait, he said. The governor has been taken. Don't...
Bleeder gunned down the guards. Wax rolled behind the desk, but still heard it as they cried out in shock. Their own governor, so far as they knew, shooting them down. Wax winced, cursing. Those deaths were upon him.
I guess the rest of the constables will be upon us soon, Bleeder said. They're not free yet. Neither are you, despite how I've tried.
Wax peeked up over the desk, then ducked down again as she swung the gun toward him. The governor's face was twisted in a mask of anger and frustration.
Why couldn't you have given me a little longer? She demanded. So close. Now I have to kill you. Claim you were the Chandra and blame you for shooting my guards. That way I can still talk to the crowd. Free them.
Yet she didn't come for him. She still seemed upset. Best to take advantage of that.
Milan, go!
Wax shouted, then pushed on the nails in the floor, flinging himself up into the air. One of the corpses at Bleeder's feet grabbed her around the legs. Wax pushed off the wall, leaping toward Bleeder. She growled, then slapped his hand as he landed, knocking the needle free.
Rusts, she was strong.
She kicked Milan off as Wax dove for the fallen needle. She became a blur. As he tried to grab the needle, Bleeder snatched it and spun around, slamming it down into Milan's shoulder. It was done in an eye blink. Then she lurched to a stop. She seemed jarred by the motion. Her metal mind storage, at long last, had run dry. Wax pulled out his gun and fired, lying with his back on the floor. The bullets ripped her skin, but did nothing else. Nearby, Milan's shape distorted, face drooping and the skin going transparent. Wax lay on the ground, his emptied gun pointed at Bleeder, whose skin reformed from the wounds. They stared at one another for an extended moment before boots in the hallway outside made Bleeder curse, then dash for the window. Wax grabbed his other gun, following, then threw himself down as shots sounded outside. He waited a moment, then glanced up, but didn't spot her in the swirling mists. Wax cursed, rolling his arm in its socket. Rusts. That bullet hole he'd taken earlier in the night was bleeding again, and the pain was returning. He thought he'd chewed enough painkiller to keep it away.
You all right?
He asked Milan, who had managed to sit up.
Yeah,
she said, though the word was mangled by her melted face.
I made them do this to me once to test it out. I'll be fine in a few minutes.
Thanks for the save, Wax said, anxiously scanning the room for hidden compartments with his steel sight. Quivering lines in the closet. Could he be so lucky? He rushed over and yanked it open. Wayne, tied securely and gagged, tumbled out and hit the floor with a thump. He was alive, thank Harmony. Wax knelt down, sighed in relief, and loosened the gag. Wayne looked like he'd been stabbed in the leg and his metal mines had been stripped away so he couldn't heal, but he was alive.
Wax, Wayne said. It's the governor. Bugger's got the same A as Milan.
I know, Wax said. You're lucky. She probably wanted to harvest your metal mind abilities with spikes. Otherwise, she'd have killed you right off. Why didn't you warn anyone?
Was going to, but I needed to check first. Got too close to the window and she rushed and came right out for me. Had knocked me upside the head, stripped off me metal mines, and had me over her shoulder all in an eye blink. Drugged me up here after, real quiet-like. You get her?
No, Wax said, working on Wayne's bonds. She ran off. Gunshots sounded outside.
And you ain't chasing her down?
Had to check on you first.
I'm fine, Wayne said. Stop untying me and look at me pocket.
Wax felt at Wayne's pocket, pulling out a small pouch.
From Renette, Wayne said.
Wax removed a single bullet cartridge. He held it up as a tense set of constables, led by Maracy, piled into the room. The newcomers called for an explanation. Wax left them to interrogate Wayne, instead seeking the mists once more. 23. Wax was a bullet in the night, rushing through the mists and disturbing them with his passing. He had become the hunter rather than the game, though the transition might have taken too long. He soared upward first to get a view of the area. An ever-growing crowd surrounded the governor's mansion, roaring, calling for change, or perhaps just blood. Would he bring down Bleeder only to find her victorious in a city destroyed? He couldn't worry about that at the moment. Instead, he sought signs, clues, a story. Nobody passed, even at night, without leaving a trail. Perhaps it would be too faint for him to locate, but it would exist. There. A group of people pulling away from the mansion instead of crowding toward it. Wax landed in a storm, mist coat flaring. This was the mansion's garden, near a large worker's shed. Wax studied the pattern of people moving away. The gunfire just a moment ago, he thought. It wasn't to shoot someone, but to clear the crowd. She was out of ferrochemical speed and fleeing frantically, and it opened fire into the air to clear this pocket of people. As he listened, he picked out cries of confusion, some people claiming the constables had opened fire on the crowd. Others claimed they'd seen the governor himself running, trying to escape the mansion. Wax loaded vindication with a single bullet Renette had sent, placing it in one of the special chambers he could quickly spin to at will. Then he inched open the door to the shed, crouching beside the doorway so as not to present a profile. The mists were bright with torchlight this night, but that light didn't penetrate to the dark shed. Wax searched through the shadows until he saw something. A bone? Yes, and draped over it cloth. He picked out a fallen cravat, a white buttoning shirt, the governor's clothing. Bleeder had stashed another body in here and had fled to swap into it. How fast was she? Milan had said that Bleeder could change faster than she could, but that nobody was as quick as Tensoon. That didn't tell him much. Milan had taken minutes, Tensoon seconds. Wax held vindication beside his head and slipped through the doorway. If he could find Bleeder in mid-transformation...
I can still free you,
a voice whispered from the darkness inside.
Perhaps I have lost the city, but I didn't come here for them. Not at first. I came for you.
Why me? Wax asked, searching furiously through the darkness, palms sweating as he held vindication.
Damn it, creature, why me?
I have deafened them, Bleeder whispered. I have cut out his tongue, pierced his eyes, but still he can act. You are his hands, Waxilium Ladrian. He may be deaf, blind, and mute, but still, with you, he can move his pawns.
I'm my own man, Bleeder,
Wax said, finally spotting what he thought was her silhouette, crouched at the back of the dusty chamber beside a rack of shovels.
Perhaps I serve harmony, but I do so because I wish it.
Ah, she whispered. Do you know, Wax, how long he cultivated you? How long he teased you, led you by the nose? How he sent you to be hardened by the roughs, so he could draw you back in once you had aged properly, like leather being cured.
Wax raised vindication, but the side of the building burst outward, showering pieces of wood across the lawn. Wax tried to draw a bead on her, but didn't fire. and Bleeder ducked out. He had to be very careful with this shot. Renette had sent but one bullet, and only it would matter in this fight. Bleeder fled into the night and launched into the air. The breaking wall had been an indication, but this was confirmation. Her metal mind, drained of the speed she'd stored up, was now useless. She'd left it on the ground beside the governor's bones and had become a coin shot instead. Wax followed, pushing on the same nails, sending himself into the sky. He could see why she'd chosen to become a coin shot. Steel pushing lent great maneuverability and speed, and logically gave her the best chance of escaping. There was a problem with that, of course. Steel was his domain. The pile of bones on the floor of the little shack proved that at least one person was having a worse night than Wayne was. He nudged the pile with his toe, then grimaced at his wounded leg. Rusting inconvenient, that was. He had to grab the wall for support. He looked toward Marcy.
"I can't decide," he said, "if the governor already being dead means we did a really terrible job or a really good one."
"How?" Marcy replied, kneeling beside the corpse. "Could you see this as anything other than terrible?"
"Well, see, we weren't the ones what was in charge of keeping him alive when he died," Wayne shrugged. "Guess any time I find a corpse and it ain't my fault they're dead, I feel a little relieved."
Milan strolled into the cottage, still wearing the body of the guardswoman, though she had moved back to speaking with her own voice now.
"It's getting rough out there. We'll want to get back into the mansion soon."
Marcy continued to kneel by the bones, which were lit by Wayne's lantern. His wrists still chafed from his confinement, and his legs smarted something fierce. Rusting Chandra. She'd known just how to take him out. A quick burst of speed, tie his legs together, gag him, steal his metal mines. Even though it didn't matter none how quickly he could heal if he was tied up. Of course, she should have checked his hands for gum as she towed him into the room.
"The governor is dead," Marcy whispered.
"Yeah," Wayne said. "Having your skeleton removed tends to do that to a guy."
"What does it mean?"
Marcy said, looking out the side of the shack in the direction they'd seen Wax escape.
"Well, it means he won't be making it to his tap dancing lessons this—"
"Wayne!"
"Yeah?"
"Shut it."
"Yes, ma'am."
Marcy closed her eyes, and Wayne leaned back against the wall, looking out at that crowd. Angry, waiting for the governor to give them his speech. The speech that was supposed to stop all this.
"Bleeder was planning to outrage them," Milan said. "I heard some of his speech. Maybe we can make them disperse?"
"No," Marcy said, standing. "We can do better than that."
She turned to Milan, then nudged the governor's skull with her foot.
"How long will it take you to imitate him?"
"I didn't digest his corpse. And don't wince like that. It's not my fault you people happen to be edible. If it helps, you taste terrible, even if you're properly aged. Anyway, it will be tough. Tensoon's pretty good at recreating a face from a skull, but I'm way less practiced."
Wayne didn't say anything. He could shut it. Damn right he could shut it when he needed to, even if there was jokes that practically begged to be said.
"You have us to help you get it right," Marcy said to Milan. "Plus, it will be dark. You won't need to fool Innate's mother, just a crowd of angry citizens, most of whom haven't seen him up close."
Milan folded her arms, inspecting the remains.
"Fine. If you think you can come up with something for me to say that will placate that crowd, I'll do it."
Wayne stood still, jaw clenched.
"No jokes about, well, the obvious things.
Besides, he'd just learned something far worse. Something that was no cause for laughter." Marcy looked at him, then frowned.
"Wayne, what's wrong?"
He sat down, shaking his head.
"Wayne?"
Marcy said, rising, sounding genuinely concerned.
"I didn't mean to snap at you, it's just that—"
"I don't mind what you said," Wayne said.
"Then what?"
"Well," he said, looking at Milan, "I'd just always assumed, you know, that humans tasted wonderful."
"Nope,"
Milan said.
"You're really wounding my self-esteem," Wayne said. "Maybe I'm different. Want to gnaw on my arm a bit? It'll grow right back. Least once we find out what that monster did with my metal mines."
Marcy sighed loudly.
Milan, work on those bones. I need to rewrite your speech.
24. Bleeder had obviously practiced with steel. She knew how to push on passing latches or lampposts to adjust her course. She knew how to drop low before shoving on a parked motor car to give herself lateral speed, rather than just pushing herself higher. She was capable. Wax was more than capable. He followed as a shadow, never more than a half leap behind her. He sensed an increasingly frantic quality to her motions, flared steel trying to push herself out of his reach. He led her at first, trying to run her out of steel. They bounced through the city, two currents in the mists, leaping over roadways clogged with angry rioters, past middle-class neighborhoods full of closed shutters and extinguished lights, over the grounds of the rich, whose security forces stood tensely by gates waiting for this hellish night to end. Wax confirmed to himself as they flew that Bleeder had not been the marksman. She'd worn one of his masks earlier, and seemed to be doing so again from the quick glance he got as she passed a burning building in the night. But she did so to consternate and confuse him. Marks had sought the insides of rooms as he ran, trying to set up an ambush. She kept to the open spaces, as if frightened of the indoors. No running toward skyscrapers, no seeking the cramped confines of the slums. Instead, she headed directly east from the governor's mansion, toward the freedom of the outer city. There wouldn't be nearly so much metal out there, making it difficult for her to flee, but also removing some of his advantage. He couldn't let that happen. As they chased past a late train, Wax redoubled his efforts. He anticipated her turn as she cut away from the train toward an industrial quarter, and he cut sideways, earning a few seconds. As she leaped over a squat burning building, passing protesters who threw rocks at her from below, Wax skimmed between it and the building beside it, coming around the other side in a precise turn. He passed through boiling smoke and emerged, gun out, as she came down from a more graceful arc. That earned a curse from her as she saw him. She flung herself down a street, using each passing light as another source to push off, increasing her speed. It was done with deftness, but Wax had an advantage. He decreased his weight, filling his metal mind. As always, though the change was sometimes subtle, this increased his velocity. If he decreased his weight while in motion, he got a little burst of speed. He didn't know why. In a chase such as this, shoving off each light that passed, little advantages like that added up. Each cut corner, each careful judge of an arc, each use of the speed boost in flight after landing for a moment, sent him closer to her, to the point that as they neared the edge of the city, she glanced backward and found him about to grab her heels. She cried out, a feminine exclamation of surprise. She shoved herself to the side, passing out over the river, and managed to land on the roadway portion of the East Bridge, holding on to one of the support wires. Wax landed gracefully before her, gun out.
"You can't run from me, Bleeder.
Let me remove your spike and take you prisoner. Perhaps the others can find a way someday to heal your madness."
"And become a slave again,"
she whispered behind the red and white mask.
"Would you clasp the manacles willingly on your own hands?"
"If I had done the horrible things that you have, then yes, I would demand to be taken in."
"And what of the god you serve? When will Harmony accept his punishments? The people he lets die, the people he makes die."
Wax raised his gun, but Bleeder launched herself upward. Wax trailed her with his weapon, but she bounced back and forth between massive bridge support beams, and he did not fire. Instead, he lifted himself with a push, soaring up, coat flapping, until he reached the top of one of the bridge's suspension towers. Bleeder waited here, atop the pinnacle, dressed in her red shirt and trousers, a loose cape blowing around her. Wax landed and leveled the gun. Bleeder dropped the mask. She wore Lessie's face. Marcy didn't tell the other constables, even Aradel, the truth about Innate. What would she have said? "Sorry, but the man we've been protecting was actually the killer? Oh, and the city has been run by an insane Chandra for who knows how long?" She'd make a report soon, once she knew how to explain it. But for now, she didn't have time. She needed to save the city. She still felt a stab of guilt as she stood near the flimsy stage at the front of the steps, where she watched Captain Aradel.